Wow. Right? Wow. I mean, amazing how you have poured your heart out in song to our Heavenly Father this morning. Thank you so much to Jason who started our worship in song this morning. I mean, just amazing to me. To Jeff, to Jason, to Ethan, to Tad, to all of those who played a part, to Justin, who's played a part in our worship and service today to God. Thank you so much. Johnny, who led the prayer. You know, it's such a great, great day. What a blessing it is. Folks, I love the church. I love the church. And I love this congregation here at Azalea City. What a blessing it is to be able to worship and be a part of what is described and was just read by Tad as an unshakable kingdom. That's what we are today. We're part of an unshakable kingdom. You know, it was God's design. And in Matthew 16, Jesus, He's standing at the very place that represented the devil and his angels. He's standing at the very mountain of evil. And he says, on this rock, at the very foundation of what was going to be evil, I'm going to build my unshakable kingdom. And he gave Peter those keys. And as he gave Peter those figurative keys, he reminded him and he reminded all of them that the gates of Hades, the gates of the unseen, the gates of hell, the gates of Satan, the gates of evil, nothing will ever defeat His kingdom. I love the church. You know, it's amazing to me when you see the buildings that are in New York, these tall skyscrapers that reach up into the heavens. There are times in my life when I wonder, how do they not fall over? You know, I know the engineering and the architecture design and everything of it. They probably have the best of the best that do those things. And of course, it's a very hard place to build. It's so crowded. It's so many people. It's so many things. It's on an island in a lot of ways and parts of it. But that being said, have you ever really thought about how a strong wind hasn't come and swayed and knocked these buildings over? I'm going to tell you how they have it. It's because their foundations are anchored deep into what is known as the Manhattan Schist. That terminology is known in that area because they know that underneath the earth's surface, underneath the loose sand, the loose dirt, the loose things, you will get down into an area that is, as I referred to, known as this, that is hard because it's got this metamorphic rock, if you will, that's found beneath this island in New York City. It's been formed there since the beginning of time, since God created the heavens and the earth. And over the years, these 7,000 years, if you will, the sun and the earth's temperatures and everything has baked and put under pressure, and it's made this rock, this area of earth, very, very strong and durable. In fact, it's so well known that builders there will drill past the shifting soil, these unstable layers of earth, if you will, until they reach this area. This area that's known as bedrock. It is then that they can safely raise a structure as they embed the foundation into this hard bedrock that they know they can build a building that will endure any storm. On the other hand, there are builders that have cut corners. They have not dug into this layer of surface, whether it was to save costs or whatever it may be. They haven't dug down to this bedrock and built their foundations in this strong part of the earth where those buildings have collapsed under their own weight or when major storms have come through. You see, a bedrock foundation will remain when the shaking is over. The kingdom we're all part of today is built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. And because it's built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, this kingdom cannot be shaken. In fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 reminds us, "Therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Isn't He worth it?" Amen is the right answer. You know He's worth it. And because God is this consuming fire, and because He had the foreknowledge to give us a kingdom, His kingdom, that could never be shaken, and allowed us in, He paid the price so that we could enter in. Once we surrender our lives to Him, and we're immersed in water, contacting the blood of Jesus Christ, God adds us to this unshakable kingdom, and it's worthy for us to come into this room and stand and stand and stand and sing and sing and sing and pray and read and partake. That's what He means when He says, "Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." In a world that is unstable, and folks, it is very unstable all around us, politically, morally, and especially spiritually, thanks be to God that we belong to something that will endure forever. The unshakable kingdom of God. We call it the church. It's the church of our Lord. It's the church that He talked about. It's the kingdom that He talked about establishing. The one that confused the people around them. Confused the disciples what He was talking about. It's confused people to this day. But I want you to know something. The kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here. His spiritual kingdom that we are a part of. He wasn't restoring Jerusalem back as the disciples were wondering. He was making a way that not only Jews but also Gentiles could be a part. He knew that life was going to get shaky. Jesus said it. In this world you will have trouble, you will have trials, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Why, Jesus, can we be of good cheer? For I have overcome the world. He knew there would be shaky days and shaky times and seasons of trouble and seasons of trials. So He made a place, a safe place, a refuge that cannot be shaken. Again, we do not war. We do not wrestle. We do not fight against flesh and blood. There is a spiritual darkness out there that is attacking. But we're built and we're part of the spiritual kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12. What it's doing, if you take the entire chapter and let it harmonize together, it's contrasting the Old Testament at Sinai. Remember, as Tad read to us, that time when they received the message, they received the law, and this old covenant was being established, it shook. It shook with fire and it shook with thunder. He's contrasting that with the new covenant in Christ, which is bringing grace, but also responsibility. You see, in verse 25 of Hebrews 12, the writer says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." If Israel had suffered when they ignored God's voice through the prophets, through Moses, through the times that they, through the patriarchs, if they ignored all those voices, how much more are we going to suffer when we ignore Christ? Remember, they went into captivity. Remember, they suffered. Why? Because they ignored the voice of the patriarchs. They ignored the voice of Moses. They ignored the voice of the prophetic age. And they suffered. What's going to happen if we ignore the voice of Jesus Christ? There'll be suffering like we can't imagine. But in verse 27, it talks about the removing of what can be shaken. So what do we need to do? We need to get rid of the things today that can shake us, that can stir us, that can cause us to fall over. That is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. It's the old song, right? The old hymn that we sing. It starts out, "All of self and none of thee." But it concludes, "None of self and all of thee." You know, it was said, John said it, "Hey, I must decrease. He must increase." I've got to get rid of the things in my life today that are causing me to stumble, that are causing me to fall, that are causing me to be shaken, to be tossed to and fro in this world of instability, and cling to the one who cannot be shaken. The message is simple today. Everything man-made, our possessions, our positions, our power. Our possessions, our positions, our power. One day they will fall. In the end, only God's kingdom will remain. Saw one time where a church had disbanded. The congregation quit growing. The congregation got older. And the older the congregation got, the more the congregation that met there died. And once there were just a few remaining, those who were trustees, if you will, of the property, they sold the building. There was an outcry of people that at one time went there. They were upset. And they cried out, "How can they sell that place? I grew up there. How can they sell that place? I used to love to go there and sing with brother so-and-so. How can they sell that place? I used to teach Sunday school there." And it went on and on. But the one phrase that kept ringing out was the phrase, "I used to." You see, that church was abandoned long before that building was sold. The real issue in life is this. When people abandon the life and mission of God, they also abandon God's unshakable kingdom. The Old Testament book of Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 4, Haggai is a minor prophet. It's a very powerful verse. And here's how it reads. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Ethan read that to us earlier. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled house or houses while this house lies in ruins? Let me tell you the history behind that verse. The Israelites, who Haggai is prophesying to, had returned from Babylonian captivity. It would have been around 538 BC. You know what had happened during that time of them being in Babylonian captivity? The temple of God had been destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem, where they gathered together to worship the Almighty, it had been destroyed. And so God, in their return back from captivity, had commanded them to rebuild His temple in Jerusalem. Ezra 1, verses 2 through 4. You know what they did? They got started on it. They were excited, right? We're out of captivity. This is great. Let's read the Word. Remember, Ezra read the Word to them, and they stood up. And they shouted, Amen, Amen. They were crying. It was a great day. He did it all day long, or most of the day anyhow. But after they got started, opposition came their way. Distractions came their way. And soon they had a lot of self-interest that got in their way. And they stopped building the temple of our Lord. Instead of building God's house, they focused on beautifying their own homes. The word paneled here, it represented luxurious, decorated with fine wood, expensive, and comfortable. That's what it means. God is saying, you have given your life over to things that will shake you and make you fall. You've quit working and doing what I commanded. While my house lies in ruins, yours has got all these beautiful panels and all these luxurious things on it. He's confronting their misplaced priorities. You see, they were living in comfort while God's house, the center of worship and the center of His presence, was lying in ruins. Israel in captivity, while they were captive to Babylon, they had every excuse, right? They were tired. They were discouraged. They were overwhelmed. But when they got out of captivity, God called them back and He used the prophet Haggai and He said this, consider your ways. Today, I just want you to consider your ways. Where are you today? Are we so focused on our paneled things in our house, in our lives? Are we so focused on the square footage of the next home? Are we so focused on the brand new automobile? Are we so focused on the brand new whatever, fill in the blank, that we forget about the one thing that is stable in our lives? The things of this world will make us shake. The things of this world, if we get bogged down in them, they will make us fall. And our lives will begin to crumble. You know when marriages crumble? Marriages crumble when one or both of the parties forget God, forget His ways, forget His pattern. Children begin to crumble from a very early age when mom and dad do not have the priorities of bringing them to Bible class and bringing them to worship. Listen, I said it this morning in class. I'll say it right here again. I've said it before. Teenage years, college years are almost too late. Doesn't mean that it can't happen. Hear me out. It doesn't mean it can't happen, but it's almost too late. The days of early childhood development are so critical. We are setting the tone for those children that when they go off to college, there's no choice. I will get up. I will go to class. I will go to worship. I will continue to study my Bible. Those things are established at home. Yes, we have youth ministers. Yes, we have Bible school teachers. Yes, we have mentors. Yes, we have others that will be involved in their lives that will help them. But it's up to us, mom and dad. I'm asking you today, consider your ways. What happens when we don't? What happens when we neglect the kingdom? I'm going to tell you the things that get shaken. Here they are. Number one, worship gets abandoned. Israel left the temple in ruins. They neglected to exalt the Lord. Today, people claim they're too busy. Too busy for Bible class. You know, it's real easy to point the finger. There are people that are trying to do everything they can to help themselves, help their families, help their congregation get to heaven. They're preparing lessons, they're praying prayers, they're doing this, and sometimes somebody will point out, hey, you could do this better. But you know what? That same person can't even get up and go to Bible class. They can't even be here on Wednesday night. I said it again. Listen, it's a great crowd. I mean, it's 300 people here, and I love you for it. But how many are you going to be back Wednesday night? Oh, we got guest speakers. I'm not going to go to that. How about hear another perspective on the truth of our Lord? We have great crowds on Wednesday night. And I'm excited about it. We have great, listen, having 200 in Bible class, that's great. But what is it going to take? What is it going to take for us to understand that we're not too busy for God? Do you want to stand before the judgment seat of God and say, I was too busy? Too busy for worship. Too busy for Bible class. Too busy to have our kids involved. Too busy for prayer. Too busy to stay for whatever function. Too busy to serve. The truth is, if you are too busy for God, you are too busy. You know what worship is? Worship is bedrock. Worship is bedrock. If we stop exalting God, everything else around us will crumble. Secondly, what happens when we neglect the kingdom and things get shaken? Growth is abandoned. God designed His kingdom for building up and for growth. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 teaches us that. For the building up of the saints, for the equipping of the saints. When people abandon the church, they abandon spiritual maturity. The unshakable kingdom is not stagnant. It's a people being shaped, as our theme says, into living stones. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5. Growth means that if every song didn't hit you the right way, you still sang. Growth means that even though you may not be excited about getting up to read your Bible and say prayers, you still do it. You think, well, Terry, you shouldn't have to do it. I understand. But growth means that you power through those walls. I said this story before. My last year teaching at Mobile Christian, I had a classroom, first period, seniors, very hard to teach that, teach Bible and be excited about it, first period to a group of seniors. One day we were talking about reading the Bible. What is it going to take for you guys to read the Bible? Some smart aleck stood up and, or raised their hand and said, I'll do it for five. I got 5 minutes I can give God. Kids laughed, thought it was funny. I said, okay, let's work with that. I said, open up to Psalm 23. We opened up to Psalm 23, six verses. It took us about 45 seconds. Let's just give it a minute to read it. I said, now, let's meditate on that for another 2 minutes. Now, let's spend 2 minutes in prayer about what we just meditated on. Think of what those 5 minutes just did to our lives. Those 5 minutes turn into 10 minutes, turn into 15, turn into 20, turn into 30, turns into a lifestyle that you're like, hey, this is great because you keep growing. When we abandon the kingdom, what else is shaken around us? Fellowship is abandoned. The Hebrew writer himself says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, we know that verse, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves as is the manner of some, but so much more as you see the day approaching. He said, don't give up meeting together, but encourage one another. Listen, why is it if fellowship is not critical to us being part of an unshakable entity into our lives, why did they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? We'd call that the Word of God today. It was directly the Word from the Holy Spirit then. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And before anything else, it said fellowship. Luke wrote things in order. He wrote chronologically. The book of Luke is chronologically written in the life of Christ. If you want to know how things happen, Luke did it. So Luke wrote Acts. Why would he say chronologically, continue in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship right behind it? It's critical. It's critical. But when we abandon him, fellowship abandons. Trials shake us. But God gave us a family to hold each other steady. If you're hurting today, the last thing you should do is isolate yourself from the flock. This kingdom stands because we lift each other up. Fourthly, if you're keeping track, what happens when we abandon the kingdom? God's mission, our mission is abandoned. A deserted church building is just bricks. But it represents lost souls in that community. When we as a church forget our mission, the world that's being shaken, that's looking for a way out, has nowhere to run for refuge. When we do, as Christ said in Matthew 28, Mark 16, even Acts 1, and we're standing in our Jerusalem, and we're living in that area, putting in a good word for Jesus, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them, when we're doing those things and proclaiming Christ, we're extending the unshakable kingdom into lives that are trembling in fear. What happens when the kingdom is abandoned and our lives are shaken? Service is abandoned. Israel redirected effort from God's house. Serve and put God's house together to their own house. They took the service off of Him and put it on themselves. many people today are pouring so much money, so much time, so much effort into their hobbies, into their sports, into their careers. They're pouring so much more into their hobbies, sports, careers, and not pouring anything into the kingdom of our Lord. Yet Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." But here's the whole message in one slide. When we abandon the unshakable kingdom, what we're really doing is abandoning our King. Ultimately, when exaltation, edification, encouragement, evangelism, and effort, it's a lot of ease, but when all those things are abandoned, what's been abandoned is Jesus Himself. The seven churches of Asia, the church at Sardis, in Revelation 3, verse 1, boy, they look good. Man, they look good. The way I would imagine it is they dressed to the T. They had big smiles on their face. They looked alive. But they were dead. The church at Ephesus, same thing. Did a lot of great things, looked a lot of great ways, but they had left their first love. The shaking reveals the truth. Simple as this. If our faith is built on Christ, it will stand. But if it's built on self, it will fall. So how do we apply that quickly? It's come a time when we need to, number one, examine our foundation. Are you, make it personal, are you building on Christ, the solid rock, or the shifting sand? Matthew 7:24 through 27. Secondly, we need to prioritize God's kingdom. It needs to be first, folks. It needs to be first today. It needs to be first Wednesday. It needs to be first Monday, Tuesday, etc. He's got to be first. Don't let paneled houses take priority over God's house. Thirdly, we need to stand firm in the storms. How do we do that? Because we know shaking's coming, right? Storms are coming. Cultural changes, moral collapse, personal trials. But when we're part and faithful and active in God's kingdom, we cannot be shaken. Finally, Justin started it out with gratitude. Be thankful, right? We need to be thankful. And we need to worship. Hebrews 12:26 commands, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Gratitude fuels endurance. Imagine an earthquake has come through and it leveled the city. All the houses around, all the businesses, they'd all been leveled. But then in the midst of all the dust and everything else, You look and you see that there's one building remaining. That building's remaining because it was bedded down in the bedrock. You see, that's the church of Christ. That's the kingdom of God. Nations are going to rise and fall. I can't tell you the times. You know, I had so many people at the gym say to me, September 23rd, it's the day. It's the day that the Lord's returning. It's the day. I told them, I said, look, if it is, I'll be ready. I said, but I'm going to guarantee you it's not. Because only God the Father knows. But then they'll say things like, well, you know, it's talking about the United States of America. I said, no, it's not. Folks, I'm thankful for the United States, but nations rise and nations fall. Economies are good and economies shake and are bad. Families sometimes fracture. But here's the one truth. The kingdom of God endures forever. So I'm going to ask you quickly today. Are you standing on the bedrock of Jesus Christ? Are you living as part of the unshakable kingdom? If the answer to that is no, now's the time. Consider your ways as together we stand and sing.